BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Just before we get into our topic today, we do want to remind our listeners of the importance of supporting the station that brings you this program each day. From time to time, our affiliates have a share-a-thon, and that's one of the ways that you can show your appreciation for this program is by supporting your local broadcast station that makes the airtime available for Crosstalk. I mention this because one of the affiliates in Danville, Kentucky, WDFB, having their fall share-a-thon right now, and if you're a listener to this station, be sure you support them and just say thank you for hearing Crosstalk. Also, one other matter, tomorrow, that's Tuesday, November 5th, there are a number of states with elections. This is an off-year election, but does have races for governor that will be voted on tomorrow in places like Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi. Other states may have, I saw a state with an individual congressional race, some state legislatures are having elections tomorrow. So if you're in one of these states, particularly Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, be sure you are at the polls tomorrow. There is so much at stake going on in your local elections and impacting your state, so be informed, and as we always say, to vote prayerfully. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this past spring, we conducted a program on Crosstalk on the topic of the growing push to destroy the beef industry. Due to its significance, we gave a re-airing of this program to highlight what's at stake, no pun intended. But today, Tom DeWeese is back with us with a specific action alert and update on this important issue. Tom is a president of American Policy Center. He's one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back to basics education, American sovereignty and independence, and protecting our Constitution. Guaranteed rights. He is a former newspaper editor. He's author of Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuals, and Erase, a political novel. Tom, good to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Good to be with you, Jim. Thank you.
And before we talk about some of your current action alerts, Tom, give us an overview as to what has brought an attack upon the beef industry, both the raising of beef as well as our consumption of beef here within the United States.
Well, it's incredible to me to learn that since about 2010, the World Wildlife Fund has been heavily involved with the cattle industry. And the reason I'm shocked by that is because this is an organization that has said one of the main ways to save the earth is to stop beef consumption. And yet the Cattlemen's Association, the National Cattlemen's Association, has allowed these people in and are letting them help make policy. They've created this sustainable beef roundtable that has all kinds of regulations in it that make it more expensive and much more difficult for the cattle growers to do their job. And then the other thing that goes with this, one of the first things they did was they removed the country of origin labeling from it, so we don't know where the beef is coming from now, and they've got this little flim-flam that they play to pretend like beef coming from other countries around the world is American beef because they process it here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the game they're playing. But what I find interesting about this whole sustainable thing, this whole roundtable, looking at their documents. I've got a document here from the it's the Principles for Sustainable Beef Farming from the Platform Beef Working Group. You know, they have all these names. And they've divided it into three things. This may sound familiar to you, Jim. We've been talking about Agenda 21 all these years.
Yes.
The we've talked about in the past the logo for Agenda 21, what we call the three E's. Three connecting circles marked social equity, economic prosperity, and ecological integrity, the three E's. Interestingly, this roundtable and the way it's operating is broken down into economic sustainability, social sustainability and environmental sustainability. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah. There it is, right there. Now, it seems odd to me that the American cattle industry would allow the World Wildlife Fund in when the World Wildlife has the express purpose to undo what the American cattle industry is doing.
Yeah, there are two explanations that I've been given for that. One is that cattlemen are, they've been under siege for years by the animal rights organizations and the environmental organizations, and they looked at this as a pressure valve. They think, all right, put the word sustainable in there, that'll get them off our backs. Okay, well, they just want to do their job. They just want to move forward. That's one reason. The other is that an awful lot of the people who are actually the members of the National Cattlemen's Association aren't really cattlemen. They are the people who are part of the packing groups, people who have lawyers, a lot of lawyers, a lot of environmentalists, and so forth, that are in there as membership, and they've moved in to control what is going on.
You know, the attack is not new here, Tom, but I believe it is intensifying. I saw this article from the Smithsonian Magazine. It was August 1st, 2012. Here's what it says. An abundance of science analyzing the impacts of the earth of livestock farming has concluded that humanity's appetite for meat and dairy products is having serious environmental consequences. Livestock species contribute directly and indirectly to deforestation, water pollution, air pollution, greenhouse gases, global warming, desertification, erosion, and human obesity. They also wrote of other ecological problems. They speak of the loss of biodiversity. And they mention that the United Nations report warns that livestock's contribution to environmental problems is on a massive scale. And, Tom, here they're shouting this alarm some 7 years ago. I'm sure it predates this, but that is going out through the Smithsonian Magazine to people.
Yeah, this is the standard line that they're using on all of this. And, you know, we could go through each one of those things and show how it's not true. And another thing that's not true, one of the things that they advocate is that, of course, everything dealing with sustainable is based on a crisis. So we have a crisis on our hands, and we've got to deal with this. And, of course, they create the crisis. And the crisis that they are seeing now are food shortages, and that we could take that land that's being used for grazing of livestock and transform it into raising wheat and soy and stuff like that, and we could feed billions more. That's the line they use. And the fact of the matter is that, as I've talked with experts on the issue, that what is used as grazing land in most cases cannot be converted. You couldn't raise wheat and soy on them, so that's not true. And but that's one of the big issues that they put in there. We could feed so many more people. Well, so we take that route, and we end up with these fake meat things that the substitute for the real. And, you know, this is where we're driving for now.
You know, one of the things we're led to believe through this article as well is that our freshwater supply is at risk due to the beef industry. Is it, Tom? Is our freshwater supply really at risk because of beef?
No. Why would it be? You know, because the cattle drink from the rivers? The water that comes from the rivers, doesn't that go through water processing plants and so forth? So why is that, you know, anything that they're doing to hurt the water? It's just, they just make the stuff up as they go along.
You've indicated that this global roundtable for sustainable beef, this roundtable has this set of principles right out of Agenda 21. What are some of those principles?
Well, let me see here. I've got this whole list in front of me. They are looking at, is the health of both the consumer and the general public protected? That's one of the things. See, in putting this roundtable together, they've made it so that the cattle growers have to be sustainably certified in order for the packing companies to buy their product. And so this is the list of the things in there. Is the breed of cattle and the choice of production system suited to the local climate, the soil, pests and diseases. The farmers and the ranchers and cattlemen in this country have been growing these products for 100 years or more. We have the highest quality in the world, and yet they are picking at every single thing. One of the things they talk about is taking big parts of the rangeland that the cattlemen need to, you know, have the cattle on, and turning that into wildlands for endangered species and so forth. So that means they have less space. That means their herds have to be smaller. And so that makes it much more difficult for them to earn a living. Every one of these things is picking at the cattleman's ability to stay alive.
One thing that surprised me, Tom, as I was researching our program for today, was the amount of beef imports coming into the United States. In 2018, some 3 billion pounds of beef, which is up 0.2% over the previous year, I understand. And then started listing the countries, Canada being number one, followed by Australia, New Zealand, Mexico, Nicaragua, Brazil, Uruguay, Costa Rica, Honduras, Ireland, Netherlands, and Japan. And I thought, why are we importing beef into the United States? I mean, we've got many listeners in South Dakota and Kansas and Minnesota and Wisconsin. Why is it, and Texas, why is it we're importing so much beef into the United States?
Well, here's the game they're playing. They import it here from those countries, and they pay them a lot less than they pay American cattle growers. And then they process it here, and now, as we've mentioned, they've taken the country of origin labeling off of the package, and so you don't know where it's come from, and they pretend like it's American beef because it was processed here. And so, Brazil has been almost completely taken over by the World Wildlife Fund. There's a real war going on down there. And the port of Baltimore is where all of this is coming in. And they are paying a pittance for this, and the packers are making a whole lot more money out of it. But now you start to hear in the news that tainted beef, problems with it. We had the same problem with chicken, as we found that was coming from China. And so what happens is people become afraid to eat the beef, and that works perfectly for the World Wildlife Fund, reducing beef consumption out of fear. And so that works into their hands, and that's one of the part of the game that's being played.
And so people just think that because of the recall or the tainted, that's true of all, and so therefore we need to stop consuming it.
Exactly. I mean, you get afraid. You think, oh, I better not do that. And meanwhile, we have Burger King and some of these other countries coming up with, oh, this is made from plants. This is much better. This mm-hmm. is safer. Tastes just like the real thing. And
wow. So, yeah. Tom DeWeese is with us today. Beef Under Attack is our topic, What You Can Do. We'll be delving more into it here in our next segment on Crosstalk as well as responding to a sledgehammer alert that has been put out by Tom DeWeese at the American Policy Center. We'll be back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, any new dinosaur extinction theories?
Of course, Chris. There's always a new theory. Here's a new one. We all know that methane gas can be deadly at high concentrations. Methane gas is found in gases exuding from deep inside the Earth, and it's proposed that a huge methane belch of gas came up from the Earth's mantle, spread out over the land, and killed off all the dinosaurs. Well, that's convenient. That's the kind of theory you can't prove one way or the other. But here's something else to think about. The dead dinosaurs are all found in water-deposited strata. They're not just laying on the surface of the ground having been poisoned by methane gas. They were buried by water. I think it's the Great Flood of Noah's Day. That flood may have included a lot of methane, but it was primarily a water flood. That's the evidence we have. It all goes back to Genesis.
Thank you, Dr. John. This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We know many of our listening areas, you're involved in the raising of beef. You're involved in the raising of other livestock as well, and talking about these issues today. But certainly, all are being impacted, even the consumers of beef and other meats here across the nation. Tom DeWeese is with us. He's president of the American Policy Center. And Tom, when you were talking about this label of country of origin, I was reading on a prosperousamerica.org website saying this: under the current rules, beef and pork products that are shipped to the United States, processed further here, can be labeled product of USA even if the animal was raised a continent away. That means a steer slaughtered in Uruguay, broken down into steaks at a meatpacking plant in Colorado, is technically American meat even if it isn't. Is that really what you're saying?
Yes, that's what we're saying. And, of course, that beef was not grown by any of the rules that they've put on the American beef growers. And so, you know, it that can't be sustainably certified. So, you know, this is all just hypocrisy in what they're doing. The purpose is, as I told a couple of the cattlemen associations that I spoke to over the summer, that you can't compromise with these people. The game that's being played is to put them out of business. The reason they want to put them out of business is because we go back to Earth First and the Wildlands Project, which we've talked about before, they're taking massive amounts of the land and turning it back to the wilderness and so forth. Well, the World Wildlife Fund is they're eyeing the northern Great Plains, and there's a span of about 180 million acres that crosses between the United States and Canada, and they're working with other groups to work to acquire this, get the domestic livestock off of that land, and do wildlife restoration. So this is their agenda, to put all this together, to get human beings out of there, stop American industry, and turn it all back to wildlands like it was before Christopher Columbus was here. That's their words.
So that's why the World Wildlife Fund's involved?
Yes. They get in there, take care. I mean, if they see the beef industry as a threat to all that, then get in there and take control of it, and you know, lead them into the direction that they want them to go, and basically put them out of business.
I thought they were all about saving the panda. Not too many pandas in South Dakota.
Right.
Let me talk about a couple other issues. Tom, you issued a recent sledgehammer action alert, and you indicated there was a recent win for the cattle industry. What was that win?
Well, U.S. Department of Agriculture, there's the section called the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, and they were moving to force the cattlemen would have to have an RFID chip on every single cow, and all this information, where the cow came from, and you know, all this. They were told that this is for to make sure they were healthy, and that for our safety. And of course, again, there's nothing behind that indicates that. And so there was a lawsuit filed. There's an organization called RCAF, and these are the guys who are standing up for the independent cattle growers and trying to push back on these things. And as a result of that suit, the USDA announced that they are rescinding that order to put the RFID chips on there. And I'm very excited about that, because I told them they've got to do something dramatic. They've got to speak out, and they've done it. And so that's one step. What that shows us is, it's not a huge, huge, huge thing, but it does show that the White House is listening. President Trump is we've gotten his attention, and so that we have a way to do this. Now, on this country of labeling and so forth, what really should happen is Congress should be passing laws here to say this, but that isn't going to happen. So we had, you know, now that we know, this is why I said it was a big victory, because now we know the White House has, we've got their attention. Now we need to storm through.
Isn't this the way it was, though, beforehand? I mean, that we did have country of origin labeling. I saw in one article they talked about the Obama administration rolling back country of origin labeling in 2015.
Yeah, it was just not that long ago that they rolled that back, yeah.
So tell us about the action you're encouraging people across this nation to take.
Well, I believe that the first thing is that the cattlemen know these issues, and when I talk to them, they're telling me all this detailed information. I said, you know this stuff. The average consumer doesn't. And you can't win this battle if you don't have the consumers behind you. And so what you really need to do is get out there and get the consumers to protest about the lack of this country of origin labeling. And so what I came up with was call the White House. Now we know they're listening, so call the White House. There's a message line or voice
comment line.
Comment line, yeah. And you can leave a message and just say that you want the White House to take action, to whether it's executive order, whatever they have to do to put that origin of country of origin labeling back on to the beef. And so we've supplied that number. Now, I had someone call me and tell me they had called there, and the White House was, I just thought it was a comment line, you could leave it, but apparently somebody's answering it, and told them to call the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So I'm advocating that people call both, call both the White House and the Department of Agriculture.
Give us those numbers.
Okay. The White House is 202-456-1111. I'll give it again, 202-456-1111. The Department of Agriculture is 202-720-2791. 202-720-2791. And all you need to say to them is, you want them to put restore the rule to put the country of origin labeling on all beef products so we know where it comes from.
Again, restore the rule to put the country of origin of all beef products on the packaging. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Yep. Folks, I'll give you those numbers again. It's 202-456-1111. 202-456-1111. That's the White House comment line. And to the USDA, 202-720-2791. Now, Tom, you believe that you've got a listening ear at the White House.
I do, yes. And, obviously President Trump has been under siege from so many directions, he can't watch everything. But if we make some noise with this, then I think we can get their attention. I think we could, I think he would be outraged to find out some of these things that are happening.
Yeah.
So,
again, this was it was rescinded by another administration. It was the Obama administration that stopped this.
Yeah, he's reversed a lot that's happened for that administration. So here we've got an opportunity to get fix something else.
And again, folks, the best way, of course, would be legislatively, because we know another president can come in and change this matter again. But the legislature, you know them, they're just spinning wheels right now, and they're all about investigation, not about legislation. But you can contact the White House comment line at 202-456-1111. If you're finding it's just busy, you can call the White House switchboard and get word to them at 456-1414, but also USDA at 202-720-2791. Now, Tom, you've been in contact then with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association?
I've been in contact with several of the independent organizations,
okay. And
RCAF was one. I spoke to the group in Oklahoma. I've spoken to the group in Colorado twice, and New Mexico. So, we're getting it there. There is one more thing that people can do here to, raise this question. Go to your grocers. Go to anywhere where you buy beef and begin to protest. If they don't have country of origin labeling on the packaging, protest there. That's the market. If the market begins to feel the pressure, the market will demand that this be done.
Okay, so just to your local grocery store.
And
asking for the country of origin labeling to be on the packaging. What they say, well, it says right here, it's made in the USA.
Yeah, I know. That's a complication that we've got to deal with. Yeah. But,
We no doubt have people listening right now that have connections within the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. What can they do internally?
Well, they need to stand up there. They need to be, they've got to start protesting there. What I have found that too many of the cattlemen, they just want to do their jobs. They're not politicians. They're not people who get out there and spokesmen. They're usually very quiet, reserved people, as I've found. And so it's hard for them to get up and stand up like that. But they are beginning to, because their livelihood is at stake. Thousands of cattlemen have been put out of business over all this stuff. So they need to stand up to it. One of the things that I suggested in my talks to them is, I said, you've got to do something dramatic. You've got to have the average people across the country understand there's a problem here. You guys know it. You're talking among yourselves. You got all kinds of information, but they don't know it. I said, here's what you need to do. On the same day, have five different cities, probably state capitals, have a cattle drive down Main Street, right straight to the state house building.
Oh my.
And as you're doing this, you're going to get people's attention. Pass out leaflets to tell your story, and when you get there, have a news conference. And I said, you won't only get news coverage, you'll get international news coverage.
Yeah.
Do this in five cities at the same time.
Yeah.
You've got to do something to get the public's attention.
And Tom, you mentioned that this is all tied into Agenda 21. I mean, it's all part of this global UN sustainable development issue?
Absolutely. I mean, Maurice Strong said it when he introduced Agenda 21 to the Earth Summit in 1992, that beef consumption, things like that, were not sustainable. I've got the biodiversity assessment that says that beef consumption is not sustainable. We've got to stop this. And, of course, now you've got AOC with her Green New Deal saying that it's contributing to global warming. None of that is true. None of it. And I could go into a whole explanation of, if you want to, I can't believe the nation is having a debate over cow flatulence, but, that's where we are.
Boy, it's amazing, but this really fits hand in glove with the Green New Deal. And even though, this has come up, Tom, we understand that they're seeking to put parts of this Green New Deal in legislatively. If they don't pass it as an entire package, incrementally they're seeking to do it.
Well, they are, and you're seeing different cities pick up on it. New York City and Los Angeles and others are picking up on this, and I was just appalled that the Republican leadership in the Senate, Mitch McConnell and the others, laughed at this, and, oh, it's just crazy, and they had their 57-0 vote,
mm-hmm.
and like, well, that's the end of that. They didn't even vote for their own program. Well, watch what's happening. This is, all of a sudden, you had different Republicans coming out saying, well, we can do something a little more reasonable. Well, that was a victory for them. That's exactly what they wanted. They wanted to have the discussion, the debate get started, and they've already moved it way down the road, way beyond radical wherever it was before. And so that just falls right into their hands. It was just a well-laid trap.
We're going to take a quick break, but folks, I'm opening the lines. Let's get your reaction to this. Our number, 800-733-9829, whether you're a grower or a consumer, 800-733-9829. Indeed, there's an attack upon the beef industry, and here are some action steps you can take. Back in 1 minute.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's Republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and Tom DeWeese is our guest. Our phone line is available at 800-733-9829. Some of you raise beef cattle. Others of you are consumers of it, and I'd like to get your reaction to this today as beef are under attack. And as to what you can do, Tom DeWeese is with us. His website, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. Our number today at Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Just before we pick up our first call, Tom, you mentioned that there are four major packers that are involved with this.
Yeah, these are what have the market, the packers. It's not the cattlemen that have the market to just say, well, I'm going to send my cattle out here and everything. The packers, and these are Tyson's Food, Cargill, it's one called JBS, and one called National Beef. And they have been grabbed in hook, line, and sinker into this global sustainable beef roundtable. And they're the ones that are demanding that the cattlemen meet these standards. And there was an effort to start a packing company that went around this. And it's just a lot of money to do that. And these four literally lowered their prices to the point that the other company couldn't compete and went out of business. Mm. So, I mean, now you're getting into, some federal laws that involved here, trade laws and so forth.
Yeah, don't move into our turf.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. We've got Alan calling in from South Dakota. You're on the air, Alan.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I'm a certified organic grass-fed, grass-finished beef producer. I've been certified organic for 19 years, going on 20.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with what you're hearing today, well, grass-fed, grass-finished beef fattens all cattle on grass. And we're talking about grasslands not being able to sustain the production of wheat and soybeans and corn and so on like that. I also found that by being able to have them grass-fed, grass-finished, I didn't have to bring feed to the cattle. I didn't have to burn fuel to graze grains and other things for the cattle. The cattle could harvest what they're eating and also spread the manure at the same time. Basically, what I needed to do was to be able to supply them pasture and take care of fencing. The carbon footprint dropped drastically. The cost of production of beef dropped drastically. And the production of, as far as cow flatulence is concerned, there's biological activity out there in that soil that takes care of the methane and everything else. The cow itself has the ability to take that grass, harvest the energy that the sun has provided, and put the material back on the ground, and it builds the soil to where it's stronger and has higher carrying capacity as a result.
Wow. Tom, your response here.
Thank you for explaining that. I've had it explained to me before, but you did it much better than I've been told before, and that makes it much easier to understand, so I appreciate that.
So it doesn't destroy, it enhances.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's diabolically different. I mean, the word I'm trying to say is that it's a 180 from whatever they're talking about out there about it being an environmental danger. This is an environmental enhancer.
That's what we've found all the way around. That the American cattle growers, they have to make they can't be destroying the earth. This is like saying the timber industry destroys with cutting trees down. If they did that, they'd be out of business instantly. And they've been there for decades, and so
There's even research that indicates that by utilizing livestock, in particular cattle, can be sheep, it can be hogs, they end up regenerating the soil because of the biological activity portion that they're contributing that makes the soil more viable and more capable of interacting with the materials that are put on it. I guess I would have to say, as far as grain-fed, grain-finished animals and so on like that, there could be a question with that because of all the carbon and all of the fuel and all the expenses that goes to keeping these animals in a yard and taking everything to them and hauling everything away. The difference between grass-fed, grass-finished, and the feedlot cattle is there's quite a difference there as far as carbon utilization and also restoration of the soil.
Thank you, Alan.
You bet. You're
welcome.
Appreciate
the call.
Thank you.
Kim is calling from Mequon, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I just have a comment because I was listening to this program, very informative. But when you go back to the 1800s, when we had the migration from the east to the west, people took cattle. It was their number one sustaining protein when they went out there, and they raised these on sustainable farms, you know, with natural environments. Mm-hmm. And I think what's going on with the manipulation of bringing in products from other states is reprehensible. Now, I just wanted to say one thing.
Yeah, let me just say this. We're not talking about product from other states. We're talking about products from other countries.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, if you, if you go and you see lamb, a lot of it comes from Australia, but it's marked from Australia because we're not a big lamb producer here. Mm-hmm. But I totally believe that I really wish that people would kind of take up objections and try to encourage small farmers to, even if it costs more per pound, where
Thank
you can
Kim.
Get something that's grown and raised naturally in your state, that would be. But it's the same thing I wanted to say about seafood. Mm-hmm. You go and you look at seafood, China, Indonesia, everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, I won't buy anything from these countries.
Thank you, Kim, for those comments there. And again, what Tom is advocating here is to contact this administration and just say, as a consumer, you're asking for them to restore the rule to put the country of origin on their meat products. And you can contact the White House at 202-456-1111 and the USDA at 202-720-2791. Let's go to Jim in Richland, Washington. You're on the air, Jim.
Yes, we're in southeastern Washington, and there's a lot of dairymen here. King County, where Seattle is, mm-hmm. they've driven all the dairymen out of there. But are the dairy cows next after they get rid of these beef cows?
Absolutely. Absolutely they are. And, I mean, they've already gone after chicken and pork, and dairy cows are next. And, I mean, we're already hearing that we need to drink soy milk instead of regular milk, and they come up with all kinds of excuses about health and all that, and none of which is true, but they create these crises all the time so that we're always on the verge of some kind of destruction of everything, and, you know, the point of it is to destroy these industries and get them out of the way.
Thank you for the call. And Tom, I'm utterly shocked at the number of family farms that are just closing up shop all across our state, here in the Dairyland, Wisconsin, but in places all across this country.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's thousands of them have gone out of business. Absolutely.
Blanche is calling from Bainbridge, Ohio. You're on the air, Blanche.
Okay, I'm calling. All that stuff they're doing started back before 90 because it was going on, and I was fighting it about the beef cattle and stuff and all mm-hmm. that stuff making that gas hurting our country. But I want to say, if the Save-A-Lot stores here in Ohio, they have raised and processed in the United States on their beef, but the beef prices went so high that you could hardly afford to buy it. And that's what that worldwide thing is doing, and they need to be just wiped off. and wiped out.
Your thoughts on that, Tom?
Well, what, you know, one thing is interesting is that they are getting the beef from these foreign countries much cheaper, but they haven't lowered the price. So the packers are making more money off of it, and they're cutting out the American beef growers as they do that.
Thank you, Blanche, for the call. Daryl is next in Toledo, Oregon. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. So, you know, I've read several times that the number one producer of methane in the world is termites, and that the aggregate weight of termites in the world is greater than the aggregate weight of cattle. So I guess if they get rid of the cows, people are going to have to eat termites.
I am so glad you brought this up. This is what I was referring to earlier. This whole debate over flagellants, when the Forest Service started their sustainable forestry, you know, and then we already know, you know, California is burning down because of it. But when these trees are, they refuse to remove dead trees from the floor of the forest. And what that does is it draws termites. And the fact of the matter is, they talk about the carbon and global warming and all of that. The termite flagellants is about 25% of the amount that they say causes global warming. It's not the cattle, it's termites,
wow,
which they have created the situation with their sustainable forestry.
Wow. Thank you, Daryl. Yeah, that's all you can do is laugh. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hi, Brother Jim. Yeah, he's talking about the flatulence. Hey.
Here we go.
people always lament how what the evil white man did in the 1800s, wiping out the buffalo, you know, to get rid of the Indians' food supply. What do you think those buffalo were doing, holding it in? And as far as the carbon goes, come on, people, wake up, educate yourselves. Carbon dioxide in our atmosphere makes up less than 0.5% of it. If anything, we should be worried that there's not enough carbon dioxide for all the plant life.
Yeah.
And another thing, this World Wildlife Fund needs to have its 501c3 or whatever it is taken down. They don't create any wealth. All they do is harass and try to put a legitimate business out of business.
Mm.
And I just have a question now. I've seen some tags where it says, for chicken, hatched, raised, and harvested in the USA, and for beef, raised and grazed in the USA. Does that sound legitimate to you, or is that one of those funny things you were talking about?
Well, I think if they worded it that way, and there was proof of that, then that would take care of it. Just saying it's a product of the USA is not enough because, as we said, they're playing this game where they process it here, then they say, oh, this is American beef, and it's not. And it hasn't been raised under any kind of supervision or whatever. We don't know what quality it's been raised under. So having it more specific like that, I think, is what we need to have.
Yep.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. We've got a couple open lines right now, 800-733-9829. We're just seconds from the break, so we're going to pick our next caller up right after the break. But let me give you these phone numbers again, because there is action you can take, and that is calling with your comment about restoring the rule to put the country of origin on our meat products. That is the White House comment line at 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111, and also the USDA at 202-720-2791. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of your calls here on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Back in 60 seconds, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Sadly, through things like the BDS movement, which is the Marxist, Islamic, anti-Semitic, Jew-hating campaign known as Boycott, Divestment, Sanction, they're trying to boycott Israel. Really what they're trying to do, folks, is to set up Jews all over the world to be persecuted and make it acceptable. But those guys out there pushing BDS and all this anti-Zionism, they like to say that Israel are the new Nazis. I know, it's offensive. That's what they're saying. Israel and the Jews and the Zionists are the new Nazis. They also say Israel is filled with racists. They're a racist state. They're an apartheid state. Well, perhaps they don't know that in 1991, as well as in the 1980s, but in 1991 specifically, Israel raised $35 million in 2 days to buy over 14,000 Ethiopian Jews, fly in 36 aircraft, and rescue black Ethiopian Jews and bring them back to Israel for safe keeping. How about that for so-called racism?
Some of you have heard of the first time might be hearing the words Agenda 21. If you're in the dark on this issue, we don't have time to break it down. We've done many programs with Tom DeWeese, but go to his website, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org, and you'll find information on his site, papers to download. He's written the book called Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuals. A lot of helpful information at AmericanPolicy.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. James in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, I called the USDA,
yeah,
and they put me on hold, and then their phone rang at the office, and then it was silence from then on. There was nothing. But my question is to Tom. I spent a year and a half in South Africa, and they have grass-fed beef, and their beef was horrible. You could hardly eat it. Until the steakhouse came to town, I didn't eat any hamburgers. So I'm wondering what his comment is about that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is beyond my expertise. I'm not a farmer. I'm not a cattleman. But you know how it's grown. Not what I want is honesty in it, and that I know from studying that these you know various ways is safer than it is in other countries. So
yeah. And the caller that we had earlier very likely could respond to your issue there. But, Tom, whatever happened to truth and labeling? I mean, that's what this is really all about, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And protecting the, you know, the producers and so forth, that trying to be honest about it. What's the quality of the beef or how it tastes and so forth is one thing. And if people aren't eating it, then they're, you know, not going to sell it and they're not going to do that. So, you know, it's just a matter of taste. I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, and what happened in that country there, too. Thank you.
Exactly.
Let's go to Vaughn in Huron, South Dakota. You're on the air, Vaughn.
Hello. Cross. Yes, am I on the air now?
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, appreciate your program. Here's a few things I thought of when I heard your program. Most of our land, grassland, is not suitable for farming, so it can only be used for grazing. Yeah. And as far as surplus cattle being a problem for using up our feed, most of the feed that we use is not used for cattle. It's for use for human consumption.
Okay.
I live near the state fair in South Dakota, and you ought to see the young people with their 4-H steers. It's a beautiful sight.
Thank you, Vaughn. Appreciate that. Kathy in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Kathy from Wisconsin. I have a few cattle on grass, and in years gone by, 40, 50 years, we had a feedlot in Illinois, which was a nice, clean feedlot. But I just wanted to say that if cattlemen brought their cattle to a city, not only would it cost them a lot of money, but they wouldn't dare have a regular drive, they would be sued for damages and arrested.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I brought that up is because they have to do something dramatic. And if they, you know, I think that they could, some of the cattlemen I mentioned this to said the same thing, you know, we'll be arrested for it. But you've got to do something to get the average person to understand there's a problem. And it's interesting that right after I came up with that, the farmers in the Netherlands had for the same reasons, the same kinds of regulations, they just had a major protest where they used their tractors and they shut down every highway in the country. And the immediate response from the government was, we need to have a meeting.
Oh.
So you know, this is, we've got to do something. Now, whether, you know, the cattle drive, actually, I was just told the other day that, I don't know, it was 10 years or so ago, in Texas, they did do this. They had a cattle drive and to make their point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just, I'm just saying we need to do something dramatic. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah. I agree.
Thank you, Kathy. Lois in West Bend, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling in regard to that Department of Agriculture. I called and talked to someone, and they said what you have to do, you have to, I suppose this is an email number, COOL, that's cool, at ams.usda.gov. And there you can address the labeling issue. But the other phone number, they can listen, but they don't forward it or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the one is the White House comment line. And what?
That I did.
Okay.
Listened.
So the other is that they're referring you to drop an email to them with your comments.
Yes.
Okay.
That was cool at USDA.gov?
Cool at AMS.
Cool at AMS. AMSUSDA.
All right.
.gov. Now, is that what you do, email? I don't do email. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they mean.
Yeah.
Is that what you would do?
That would be an email address, yes. Thank you for that. I guess, I don't discourage the phones from ringing, Tom, because that's indication to what they're trying to do is, you know, defer. Just get it to another department. Get it out of here. Don't let my phone ring. But it's getting their attention.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Ben in Sugar Creek, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, my comment is the World Wildlife Fund a branch or arm of the UN?
They are one of the top three environmental groups in the world, and they are part of the UN Environmental Program.
Mm-hmm.
And they're one of the top three groups that make all the decisions of where all that goes or everybody else follows.
Yes. Well, I think we should just leave the UN and cut them out that way and all the other globalist ideology that's mixed in with the UN.
Thank you, Ben. And, Tom, you wouldn't disagree with that.
Absolutely. I've been trying for 20 years.
Let's one last call. Gordon in Saukville, you're on the air.
Yes. I've worked with farmers around the area and small ones, and they have small herds, maybe 100 or so head of cattle, and the paperwork involved with raising this stuff, he doesn't even figure it out anymore. He has to send that paperwork into the butcher to have them figure it out.
Gordon, thank you. We're out of time. Tom DeWeese with us, but that's something else that's going on too, Tom. The regulating of all of this that makes it a paper nightmare for ranchers.
That's always the way they do. That's how they destroy all kind of industries.
Thank you. We've run out of time. Tom DeWeese is our guest. His website, AmericanPolicy.org. Again, the White House comment line, 202-456-1111. USDA 202-720-2791. Tom, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And folks, thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.